Lyles, when you're ready.
May it please the Court, I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Very good.
Your Honor, from Paragon's...
When the yellow light goes on, you'll be going into your rebuttal time.
Yes, thank you. There are three issues, two of which have been raised in this appeal by Paragon, and specifically it's the construction of two terms, the term data acquisition unit and the term display unit. The term display unit is sort of like a tag-along, and it's really here because there's no question that about whether or not the accused device is a single structure, but it's involved in this appeal because it is in common with the term data acquisition term, the term unit. And so, presumably, it may influence how that acquisition unit is.
What about real time? Do we have
real time,
real time
has been raised by Timex, and it's in a sense an informal appeal, an informal cross appeal. But that's another issue.
Is it a cross appeal, or is it an argument how we could affirm on an alternative basis?
I personally view it as a cross appeal because they're disputing the construction of the term. Real-time by the district court.
Yeah, but a cross-appeal would ask for a different outcome. They're perfectly happy with this outcome, I take it.
I believe they are.
Okay, so.
Yes. But anyway, those are the three terms that are at issue. First of all, turning to the data acquisition unit. As the specification makes clear, and the district court had no disagreement on this, the specification makes clear that as used in the patent, in the 759 patent, the term data acquisition unit can be either a single structure or it can be multiple structures. That was never argued down below. It's explicitly stated in the specification, and that was always as given. I believe that it's beyond dispute. You can find that on column 1 and lines 36 to 39 of the specification. Equally clear, I think, however, what the ruling the district court resolved around was a prosecution history disclaimer. However, we dispute the district court's finding there, and we think it's equally clear that there's been no disavowal of a multiple structure data acquisition unit. In fact, we think since there's been no disavowal, in our view, it cannot be a clear and unambiguous disavowal, which is required by the court. And there's several reasons. We outlined a lot of that, and essentially what we set forth in a brief is what really happened, and particularly the July 14, 2003 amendment, was what was distinguished between the components which make up the data acquisition unit and the components which make up the display unit, and those were required to be separate. But there was no discussion, no argument, no amendment which affected the internal composition of either the data acquisition unit or the display unit, and either one of those, in our view, can be either a single structure or it can be a multiple structure. In addition to...
It seems to me, if anything, it would further distinguish the root patent if you had argued that all of these things are separate structures. All of these things are separate components, including the two parts of the data acquisition unit.
I believe that would have further distinguished.
It's hard to view the prosecution history as a disavowal when it would have been a further distinction to say that these units were separate and not an integral data acquisition.
I agree and associate myself with those comments, Your Honor.
But I didn't think you'd have a problem.
No. but there's another point which really wasn't addressed heavily in the brief, which I think really might even more clearly point out to the illogic of a construction which would limit it to a single structure. And that really has to do with Claim 29, which was Claim 18 in the application. What happened there is the term data acquisition also was used in the amendment on July the 14th of 2003. However, quite significantly, and this is perhaps most easily seen by the version which shows the changes which were made on page 311 of the appendix, is you notice in that time the data acquisition is units there, but there is no recitation in Claim 18 at that point in time of a physiological monitor. It makes no sense, in my view, that you would construe the term data acquisition unit in Claim 18 at that point, which is the time of the other amendment, which is alleged to result in the disavowal. It makes no sense to construe that as requiring both a electronic position device and a physiological monitor when there's no physiological monitor in it.
Is my understanding of your argument correct that you argue that the prior art root
yes.
was distinguished on the basis of the data acquisition unit and the display being separate structures in the present invention, but you weren't suggesting that necessarily meant the data acquisition unit had to be a single structure.
That's correct. It could be either one. It could be either multiple or
single.
But
it simply had to be separate from the display unit.
Whatever makes up the data acquisition unit has to be separate from whatever, physically separate from whatever makes up. That's correct.
So if Timex had the display unit on the that utility belt of your patent,
there would be no infringement. We wouldn't be here.
Got it.
Let me tell you what troubles me about your position. The sequence of amendments, and I'm going to gloss over the various amendments as they went through, but essentially, to boil it down, you went from something that started out as an exercise monitoring system comprising, and then three elements, plainly, just very simple, three elements. And then ultimately you ended up with something that you characterized, and I'm looking at A307 now, as Claim 1 has been amended to require that the electronic positioning device and physiological monitor are provided as a data acquisition unit. Okay. Now, if they were now amended to provide a data acquisition unit, what were they before? Were they not a data acquisition unit in the prior iterations of the claim?
They were a data acquisition unit, however.
So now it's provided as a data acquisition unit. That sounds like a change, but the change would seem to me to suggest that it was something else before.
I think the change is in form only. And the change really, what it allows one to do in the other part of the claim, when they claim the separateness, it allows them to say that this part is separate from this part in one clause, as opposed to say it's separate from both this and this. It's separate, what they could have said, rather than saying that it comprises...
You understand my concern?
I believe I understand your argument.
Okay, I mean, it's that you seem here to have restricted yourself to something that you're now calling a data acquisition unit that presumably wasn't in the claim before. And if it wasn't in the claim before, then what is it that you've added by way of restriction? Because it seems to me your argument is, because these things don't have to be part of a structural entity, that what was in the previous claim would constitute a unit.
Well, Your Honor, I personally don't agree that it adds something which wasn't there before. It rephrases what was there before. Okay, and what that language in the remarks does is paraphrases the language in the claim. And what the language in the claim does, it allows you to say the data acquisition unit is different from the display unit. Without that change in the amendment, in order to get the same concept across, it would have said the display unit is different from both the data from the electronic position device and separate from the physiological monitor. By combining those together, you just have to say separate one time. I don't think there was a change in substance. I think it's a change in form. And that language, I understand your confusion in the remarks, but it really does no more than track the language of the claim, the amendment to the claim, and I think that that's...
Well, it does track the amendment to the claim. The question, though, is did the amendment to the claim change something?
My answer to that is no.
No, I understand that's your answer.
At a minimum, it didn't clearly and unambiguously change it, and it didn't clearly and unambiguously disavow anything. In fact, I don't think there's any disavow at all.
Let me ask you this question. You point correctly to the specification language that does describe separate entities, but should we not take account of the fact that that language was in the specification from the very outset when the claims were broad enough so that they plainly covered that sort of embodiment? And then after the amendments, arguably, I know you didn't agree with this, but arguably the claims were narrower, doesn't that render that language in the specification no longer important in giving us guidance as to what the amended and therefore restricted claims really mean?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
In other words, this comes up a lot, where you have a very broad application, has a very broad specification, and then in the course of the prosecution, the claims get narrowed, but the language of the specification typically remains.
Yes.
And therefore,
yes,
those very broad characterizations that may have applied to embodiments that are long gone from the claims don't give us much enlightenment as to the meaning of the claims. I'm questioning whether the language you pointed to in the specification doesn't fall into that, doesn't have that character.
I don't think it does. The amendment did, in fact, restrict the claim. And what it restricted the claim is doing, before the amendment, there was no requirement of the separateness between the display and the data acquisition unit, either the electronic acquisition device or the physiological monitor. After this amendment, it clearly required that to be separate. There's good reason, by the way, and in fact, it relates very strongly to a lot of the patentability, but that patentability has nothing to do with the physical construction, whether or not it's one unit or multiple units. That particular phrase was not addressed in the amendment about whether it could be single or multiple structures. Other part were. What was the point that you're address your point, I think the original specification was broad enough, and the original claims were broad enough, to cover a device which had the display unit on the belt. Okay, that was broad enough to do that, and that was found to be not patentable by Root, etc., and it was explicitly amended to restrict the claims, but only restrict it by taking the display unit away from the other units, the physical separation of those two units. But I don't think it really related to or touched the language that we're pointing out where it says the data acquisition unit could be multiple structures. I'm not sure if I answered your question.
No, I understand that's your argument. I guess there's a broader question, which is, does language like that in the specification, can it be discounted by the fact that it was in the specification at a time when the original claims plainly covered those embodiments, but by hypothesis no longer do? And the answer to that, it would seem to me, is that you have to discount that kind of language. Certainly if the later claims clearly disclaim, walk away from the broad language that shows up in the spec.
And I think that's the only time in which you actually discount that.
All right.
Counsel, okay. Can I ask you one other question?
Please.
About the same remarks on page 307 that Judge Bryson referred to, where it says specifically claim 1 has been amended to require that the electronic positioning device and physiological monitor are provided as a data acquisition unit. And then Judge Bryson said dot, dot, dot. But is it maybe the dot, dot, dot that is the new distinction that you were adding, namely that worn by a subject performing a physical activity? Because if I look at the amended claims on 310, that's the language that seems to have been added. So is it that Judge Bryson is correct that that language has meaning, but that the meaning is focused on where the unit exists, i.e. worn on a person, not worn on a person? I can't tell for sure, but that seems to be all underlined from the amended claims on page 310. So it looks like that language was added as part of this amendment that would correspond to this response. And so then I would think if that's true, your argument would be that you didn't say data acquisition unit had to be a single structure, but rather you amended saying it all has to be worn by the person. I'm just not 100% sure what I'm looking
for. There's
a
short answer to the question, which is yes. That is the problem, I guess, with the observation that I was making, which is
Yes. There's
another explanation for that language, which is that it relates to the location.
Then I'll respond to Judge Moore, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Particularly, if you look at the claims, it is possible to. I'm already in my rebuttal time, so let me just.
Why don't you wrap up with? Okay. And we'll save your.
I think one that there is no disavowal, certainly no clear and unambiguous disavowal in the July 14th Amendment, and that it's disingenuous to look at only Claim 1. You also had to look at Claim 18, which turned out to be Claim 29. And if you look at it there, it's impossible and it's totally illogical to look at data acquisition unit as being restricted to a single structure. I'll reserve my remaining time.
Very good. We'll give you your full 3 minutes.
Okay.
Mr. Horvath.
Good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Horvath, since Judge Moore's laid out, and I'm sure you were attending to the what I think is a pretty good answer to the issue that I was raising with your opposing counsel, maybe you could begin by responding to the same question, because that is a potential problem with the characterization of that part of A307, is it not?
Certainly, if the amendment was solely designed to say that these components are to be worn, and that's it, then I guess the answer is yes. But if you look through all of the amendments and all of the remarks, the answer is no. Specifically in the amendments, we'll start there, They added a new component, a new concept, a data acquisition unit comprising the two other components, the electronic positioning device and the physiological monitor. And then it says, comma, said data acquisition unit is to be worn, in essence. And so they amended it in two respects. One, the data acquisition comprises or includes, as patent terminology would tell us, the two components. And two, the data acquisition is to be worn. Secondly, when we go to the remarks, as Judge Bryson, you noted, they're very explicit about the data acquisition unit. It's now the electronic positioning device and the physiological monitor are provided as a data acquisition unit. They're together.
Well, but it sort of depends on how long you pause after the word unit as to whether that's an independent entity from the which clause or whether the it should probably be that instead of which, but or is that simply a way of describing what the ultimate point of that observation is, which is that whatever this thing is, unit, system, set of entities, they must be capable of being worn. Why is it two things as opposed to one?
I think the simple answer is because if the sole accomplishment, the sole purpose of these amendments and remarks was solely to have them worn, you didn't have to introduce the data acquisition concept or the component. You simply could have said the two existing components in the claims are to be worn. You didn't have to introduce a new concept, a new component, which puts all of it together. and so when Mr. Lyles was indicating that the amendments are solely to separate the electronic positioning device and the physiological monitor from the display unit, that could have been simply done by simply saying that and not having remarks that put the data acquisition unit together with the two components and then putting them on the body to be configured to be worn and then separating from the display unit. Now, and I think the answer comes out clearly as we continue to go through the remarks. For example, they cancel Claim 6, Appendix Claim 6, which had provided, and that's on Appendix A265, that the GPS and the physiological monitor are provided as part of a data acquisition unit, which is separate from the display unit. And so here, they're canceling a claim. They're telling the examiner that all the limitations in that dependent application claim are now included in Claim 1, and that explicitly says that the two devices are provided as part of the data acquisition unit. And we can go on.
Yeah, but it seems to me that your argument is keying in on the word unit, and you're suggesting that the word unit implies a single structure. If I believe a unit is something, you know, like a unit for purposes of military operations involve lots of different people, not a single body. So it seems to me that your problem is with the word unit, which you and your opponent use interchangeably throughout your brief, and I see it appears interchangeably in the patent with the word component as well. And your argument seems to be you think component and unit, every time they use these, it has to mean a single thing. But their specification said quite clearly the data acquisition component of a monitoring system, according to the present invention, may even comprise multiple structures that are physically separate from each other. So it's clear from the very beginning, based on their spec, they considered the possibility that multiple structures could comprise this data acquisition unit, component, whatever you want to call it as. So why isn't the language here completely consistent with that? Why suddenly should I read the cancellation of Claim 6 as imposing a single structure requirement?
There's a lot in that, and I'll do my best. I think, yes, there is one sentence in the specification that provides that possibility. The balance of the specification is not consistent with that one.
It's not consistent with. No place else in the specification says, no, they can't be multiple structures. Everything else is simply an embodiment, a preferred embodiment or an embodiment.
I agree with that. but the embodiments of data acquisition unit, other than that one sentence, if you look at figures 3, 4, and 5, for example, it's all one unified structure that has various components attached to it. That's the data acquisition unit that's described in figures 3, 4, and 5. And to go on, I agree with the concept of Judge Bryson that, yes, in the specification, you have broad claims as they tried to get the three components without any structural bounds to them. But when you get into prosecution and you disavow that with cancellation of claims, then that guidance is not what it used to be.
You have a really big burden. You've got to show clear and unmistakable disavow. This isn't the case that we look at it de novo and we decide whether we think they disavowed or not. We have to look at it de novo and decide whether there was clear and unmistakable disavow.
Yes.
So this, oh, they canceled this claim, but this claim doesn't indicate that there has to be a single structure. It only says that data acquisition unit is a separate structure from the display unit. It just doesn't say all that you want it to say. And given, you know, even if I might, you know, if I were choosing between right and wrong, go with you, when you've got to prove clear and unmistakable disavow, that's what I'm looking for here.
Your Honor, I agree that it needs to be a clear disavow. I think when a dependent claim says the two devices are provided as part of a data acquisition unit, and they say that that's now in an amended in claim one, when two things are provided as another thing, they're all together.
But they previously said a data acquisition unit can be composed of multiple structures. So why is using the identical words in this claim suddenly meaning something different than what they said it was earlier?
Again, Your Honor, they do say that in the specification in that one sentence. And that's, I believe, the genesis of the original application claims, which set out the three devices without any configuration or structure attached to them. Those were deemed not to be patentable in view of root and other things, including the admissions in their specification, which say that a GPS device communicating electronically to a watch and a heart rate monitor communicating electronically to the watch are known and commercially available. In essence, they were simply combining these two things, and the patent examiner said no, based upon root. And so now, when the patentability hinges on the introduction of a data acquisition unit in the cancellation of this claim, and they say explicitly that it's the structure now required by the independent claims, which distinguish the claims from root, you need to give life and breath to what that means.
But in distinguishing root, what the point was to argue that root showed a single structure that contained all three of the components in question, and the argument was that, well, no, this invention is different because the display unit is separate from the other parts, but not necessarily that the other parts in the data acquisition unit are a unitary piece. Why would there be any need in distinguishing root to argue that the two components of the data acquisition unit were a single structure? If anything, distinguishing over root, you'd further distinguish over root by arguing that they're all separate.
The applicant could have done that, but they didn't. They introduced
the
concept.
Well, you say they didn't, but there's nothing that clearly indicates that they did anything other than to separate out the display unit from the data acquisition unit, which the specification says could be multiple pieces.
I think, Your Honor, respectfully, if your position is correct, you have to ignore all the references to the introduction of data acquisition unit being provided and included those two devices. You have to ignore the cancellation of six, and you have to ignore...
But claim six just talks about that those two units are provided as part of a data acquisition unit.
That's
it could
right.
be separate parts of a data acquisition unit.
But they're a unified structure.
Well,
that doesn't say that.
The conclusion, though, doesn't it? I mean, aren't you?
That's the
problem. I mean, if we remain agnostic as to the question of what unit means, then it seems to me, I think I'm just repeating Judge Lynn, then the six doesn't help you, right? I mean, only if we conclude that unit actually means something that has structural integrity do we then find six is helpful to us. But if we have already concluded that it has structural integrity, we've already decided the case.
I think you're right.
Right.
I agree.
Let me ask you, if you could, I mean, I don't know if you had more on this point, but at some point, maybe if you could turn to the question of real time.
Yes, I will. Before we leave data acquisition,
sure.
Quickly, I just want to note that Under Paragon's district court construction, you need to find that Timex's accused products do not infringe. It's, according to them, an assemblage of interrelated components that unify the function of acquiring data from the two other components. However, as stipulated in the facts, and it should be accepted and undisputed here, the only component that does that in Timex's system is the watch itself. The two devices communicate independently, separately to the watch, and the watch cannot be the data acquisition unit because the data acquisition unit needs to be, undisputably, separate, physically distinct from the data acquisition unit. Well, the watch is not. It has the display.
Counsel, we don't make fact findings. You're saying it's undisputed and we wouldn't have to make a fact finding? So are you saying that even under their construction, as a matter of law, you should be granted summary judgment?
That's right. If I were asking you to find the facts that are in the party's stipulated set of facts, I would agree with you wholeheartedly. You'd have to remand. You shouldn't be making factual determinations in the first instance. But here, when the facts are uncontroverted, it's a legal question as to whether or not those facts satisfy the claim that's properly construed. The final point I want to note on data acquisition unit very quickly is that they've changed in the last section of their reply brief the construction for the first time on appeal. Obviously, that's improper. Raising new issues in a reply is improper, and changing construction, broadening it on appeal, is equally improper. And I could cite cases, but I'm sure Your Honors are familiar with those concepts. And so that construction, which clearly tries to target a three-component system and make it equal to the four-component claims, is improper. And that's the fundamental flaw in their case. The claims require four things. We have three. With respect to real-time data, the district court's construction, in my judgment, is incomprehensible. It means nothing. There's a lot of substantialies, and it's very indefinite. The only reason why the district court accepted Paragon's construction is because they represented to the district court that what that construction means is as nearly to instant as mechanically possible.
I'm curious, what does time frame experienced by people mean?
Your Honor, I don't know.
And contextually, does that mean if you're a sprinter, it has to appear faster than if you're a distance runner?
Maybe so.
Yeah, I was curious. I had a lot of difficulty figuring out the application of this.
And we argued vigorously at those points, Judge. And the only way it prevailed is, again, Paragon's representations to the district court as to what it really meant, which is as nearly to instant as mechanically possible. And here, the stipulated set of facts say clearly that it's what Timex does in the system is not as mechanically possible.
The 2 second lag or 2 to 5 second lag.
Exactly. That the total delay for the GPS device communicating to the watch ranges in a stipulated fashion between 3.92 seconds and 4.92 seconds.
So you say instantly, right? That's what you want us to adopt, but no technology gives you anything instant.
The speed of light is quick, but it ain't zero.
Instant or nearly instant, as mechanically, I agree with the construction, as nearly to instant as mechanically possible.
That's crazy, though, because depending on how much money you want to put into it, you can make it be closer and closer to real time, but for a commercially pragmatic product, you're not going to choose the highest electronic state-of-the-art componentry because you're not going to sell it for $50 or $100 a watch. So you have to choose electrical component. I mean, are you suggesting you have a built-in delay here?
We do.
You do. You have a built-in, that it would be possible for you to do it quicker with the exact mechanical components you have.
It's an issue of battery, battery life, maintaining battery life. The stipulation says that the watch communicates with the GPS device every 3.7 seconds. It's not in constant communication. There's a delay so that it's not running all the time. With respect to the heart rate monitor, there's a 2 second delay. There's also a delay in transmission, obviously, which is not substantial.
So the more you sample, the more you use the battery. You don't want to use the battery too much, so you sample at intervals.
Yes.
Got it.
Absolutely true. And when the information gets to the watch itself, there's an additional delay of 0.1 to 1 second depending on what else the watch is doing.
That falls into the category, I would think, of friction, in effect, of the inability of a system, a moderately inexpensive system, to process information instantaneously, don't you think? I mean, a 1.1 second sounds like it's effectively real time. Certainly couldn't be perceived by someone who's looking at their heart rate as being off by much.
But you have to add up all of those.
Well, I understand, but if you start with that, if that were the only thing, you really wouldn't be arguing that that's not real time, right?
I agree with that.
All right.
I'm just adding. Explaining the total
delay.
Hold on.
I think Judge Moore has a question.
Yes. Yeah, let me. You're running out of your real time, so
let me
get my question in. So what do we do if we agree with your claim construction? Is there a question of fact here? I mean, infringement's certainly a fact. DOE is a fact. I'm going to bet you're going to tell me that prosecution history estoppel eliminates any DOE for this claim. But is there a question of fact here that we can't affirm? We may be able to enunciate a clearer claim construction, but is this some sort of question of fact?
I don't think it is. Again, if we didn't have what Lava Training and other the Wilson Sporting cases from this court told us to do, which is typically if you're going to stipulate after claim construction to set out factually what the accused device is, if that didn't exist, I would agree with you. But here, the facts are undisputed, they're clear, and it's only a question of law as to whether or not those facts satisfy the
2 seconds is really quick. Goes by very quickly. I mean, why isn't that nearly instantly?
Because
have you demonstrated how you could have made it so it sampled more instantaneously, and so what I would be comparing to, if it wasn't 2 seconds, it would have been what, a millisecond, half a second? You know, I'm just wondering if there's any fact here that maybe I can't just rule. I don't feel comfortable ruling as a matter of law that 2 seconds is somehow not nearly instantly as mechanically possible.
A few things. The specification reiterates numerous times that the innovation in part is providing instantaneous feedback to the user. The real-time data limitation was added during prosecution. There is no equivalent, and there is no disputes over these facts.
Why was it added during prosecution?
It was added during prosecution in part to distinguish Root. That was part of the remarks, part of the amendments. That were added because Root had a computer which they were trying to.
Yeah, you came back afterwards and looked at your data, right? You
didn't. Right, it's historical.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Rather than watching it while you're running to see how your speed affects your heartbeat, for example.
That's why I'm wondering, is it a 2 second lag? Not many people run for less than 2 seconds. So. Isn't there something maybe factual here?
From our perspective, the answer is that the two components are not in constant communication with the watch, that there's a built-in delay of 3.57 seconds for the GPS device and 2 seconds for the heart rate monitor. It could be mechanically quicker if they communicated quicker or more often. And so I think that's the answer from our perspective. Thank you very much.
The case is submitted. I'm sorry, we have rebuttal. Sorry. Mr. Lyles?
Can you focus on the real time? Is that okay?
I will. I have two things here, and that's one of them. First of all, let me tell you about what real time is. Real time is contextual. Real time means different things in different contexts. If you're looking at a computer processing what happens inside the chip, 2 seconds is an eternity. Okay. If you're talking about other sorts of things, what you're talking about is the significance of the delay and what really it means. If, for example, last night I was outside and I wanted to measure the temperature of the sidewalk snow when I had to put salt on them so that the snow will melt. You know, there was about 32 degrees, went down. I can put on there, and quite frankly, I can do that in real time. And I can do that and I can measure it every second, or I can measure it every 1 billionth of a second. It is no more real time in 1 billionth of a second than it is in every 1 second. And the reason was because it's something that's not going to change that quick, and the changes are not going to be consequential. Now, in contrast, if I'm talking real time in terms of a computer chip, you know, where we're talking about tiny fractions of a second, 2 seconds is an eternity. Here, we're talking about somebody running. And there's one component. That's the contextual component. The other component is there are certain things that are just inherently limiting. For example, one of the things we're doing with our physiological monitor is we're measuring heart rate. And heart rate is something which is really measured in a time interval between two events, two beats of the heart. Okay? The smallest possible sampling time that one could get from that, it would be defined by the period between the two beats, because you can't possibly measure anything quicker than that. Okay? And in terms of the context, what's important is if it's 10 minutes, that's probably not real time here. It's not real time because what's important about this is when you look at your watch display, you know what your heart rate is, and you know how fast you're going, and you can sort of look at those things in the same visual image and sort of get a sense of it. Okay? Your heart rate doesn't change that quickly. It doesn't change in 5 seconds. It doesn't change in 10 seconds. If you did it 10 minutes, that would not be real time because the information you get would lack meaning. So the meaningfulness of the information and the rapidity with which the thing that you're measuring changes and the significance of that change has to do with real time. You know,
real time. So you think the context here does not require instantaneous feedback?
Instantaneous. When they say instantaneous in the specification, they're talking about miles per hour. They're talking about pace, which is minutes per miles per minute. Okay, that's the kind of things that they're talking about.
But the claims, the specification describes real time in terms of instantaneous feedback.
The claims don't. That's in the specification.
No, I understand. But,
right.
But that's describing.
But also, if you look in the specification, when they use those terms instantaneous, they're looking at it in terms of miles per hour. They're looking toward and they're inherently measuring things that cannot be instantaneous. And as you say, even light has time. As Nietzsche said, you know, the light of the stars, it takes time to reach man's eyes. Okay, all that takes time. And if you measure that in real time, it depends. Real time is dependent upon what you're measuring. Okay, and how important and just like the 1 second interval sampling time for the sidewalk outside, that is really as much real time as if you do it 1 billionth of a time. It's truly the same thing. And we're talking about parameters here that inherently have limitations on it. They can't be instantaneous because you cannot measure a heartbeat in a time period, in a sampling period, which is shorter than the period between the two beats. Okay. One other thing, very, very quickly, and I'm running out of time, but with the court's indulgence, one of the advantages of an adversary system like that is you sometimes realize you're not as smart as you think you are. Okay. One of the things that's been very helpful in John's briefing is that he's been beating up with me in some of my claim constructions. And certain other things are well taken. For example, he's made the argument that they don't infringe because they don't quote, unify the function. Unity of the function is not in there. That's just our interpretation, and he's sort of taken liberties of that. One of the things that I've realized by listening to his comments is that when you pick words to define what a claim term means, it doesn't make sense to pick words that are themselves going to require construction.
That's a problem we've been living with.
Okay? And so for that, I think you know the proper interpretation, and the court, in fact, may be able to clean them up, but I think it's really for means for displaying really means for providing that. That's really ought to be what it is. If you look at the claims, it says that's what it does. It's for disclosing, for displaying real-time information provided by the electronic position device and the physiological monitor. It's doing for both of them. There is no requirement in the claims of intermediate structure. His argument requiring the intermediate structure and his argument totally unsupported by the specification that it's only introduced in Fig 3, which is not true. That term is used multiple times in connection with Figs 1 and 2. All of that is for things. So I think the term unifying is probably a bad term to use, and I would encourage the court, if they're going to arrive at a construction, that would in fact be an appropriate thing to do as a matter of law, and the court is not obligated to take my construction or John's construction or either one. You can listen to the arguments and deem and clean up the words when you think is appropriate.
Thank you. Thank you. The case is submitted. Thanks for the counsel.
All rise. The Honorable Court is adjourned until tomorrow morning.